Welcome to the 503 Report, where America's voice is heard. Thank you for listening online. Be sure to check out our website weekly as we bring Sacramento and the world to you. The 503 Report at www.503report.com, where America's voice is heard.
The loveliness of Paris seems somehow sadly gay. The glory that was Rome is of another day. I've been terribly alone and forgotten in Manhattan. I'm going home to my city by the bay. I left my heart in San Francisco.
I don't have a lot of good things to say about, especially the politics that are down in San Francisco. I grew up in the Bay Area. I love my Giants, my Niners. I love the culture down there, the food, Fisherman's Wharf, the people. Really, I love it down there, except for the politics. Now, right now, I'd like to give props to the people that are down there in San Francisco. Like I said, I don't agree with a lot that goes on down there. Here's what's going on from 2006 to 2013. According to a new Census Bureau report, commuting by private car in the densely populated San Francisco area fell from 73% down to 70%, giving it the nation's third highest level of alternative commuting. Now, San Francisco is pretty much famous for alternative a lot of things. Overall, the Census Bureau found that 76% of the nation's worker drove alone to work in 2013. That is a lot. A Public Policy Institute of California report said that nearly 72% of Californians drove alone to their jobs, a little bit lower. Including carpools, that's about 86%, about a percent and a half lower than the national average. However, the PPIC report said that San Francisco alone, excluding the rest of the Bay Area, had by far the lowest rate of auto commuting, with 40% of its drivers driving alone, and carpooling at 51%. Meanwhile, Los Angeles had about 86% of the workers commuting by private car, roughly the same as the national average. So the folks in San Francisco, and if you've been to a big city, you know what I'm talking about. It is almost impossible to get around. I remember it took me 3 hours to go from Fisherman's Wharf to Candlestick Park to see Paul McCartney. It took me 3 hours to go about 4 miles. So alternative commuting, carpooling, doing different things, that is great. The people of San Francisco, that is, I'm giving you props for that. You want to know what number one is? And this one kind of shocked me. Was New York City. But they have about 10 times as many people as San Francisco. It is Friday. It's our favorite day of the week. And with me, always, my good friend, Andrew Wellborn. Buddy, how you doing today,
man? Well, you know, I couldn't help but think just a little bit about, you know, what was the underlining, you know, undertone of this report when I read that earlier today.
Yeah.
And I couldn't help it but think possibly the reason why commuter traffic or automobiles are starting to disappear a little bit in the Bay Area is, goodness gracious, can anybody afford a car?
Man, no kidding.
I mean, good Lord. I mean, some of the unemployment levels and the numbers that we don't talk about within those cities. And you're right. You know, San Francisco is absolutely no different than Los Angeles. My home state, great city of Dallas is the same way. Boy, it gets tough to commute. And then, of course, you know, I'm getting ready to head back to Detroit next week. All these big cities have got the same issue. It's the commute time because, quite frankly, you know, we're getting overpopulated. We're getting congested. And, you know, alternative means for transportation seems to be the big deal, the big focal point, I guess, across this nation. And I think that that is going to be a new movement that California is going to try to launch from the West Coast to try to get going across the rest of this nation. Hello, folks. Andrew Wellborn here on the 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you. And you know, Tim, we are where America's voice is heard.
You know, a couple of years ago, Andrew, I discovered the ferry boat that goes from Vacaville across to AT&T Park for a Giants game. So instead of going through that commute, a lot of folks, when they go to Giants games, and that's, you know, that's not the whole year, and it's not a great amount of people, but they only take the one-hour ferry ride across there, and it saves going through the bridge and over the bridge. And the, because out of Oakland, you are about an hour away from going to a Giants game, and it's only about 10 miles. It just takes forever. So anything that we can do to help ease the traffic burdens in our bigger cities, you know, lower fuel and everything, because we could talk about that too, the fuel prices and things are going down. But we up here in Northern California, we don't have the congestion problems like that. But I've been finding myself work and driving a lot less, you know, to help ease the burden on my wallet while those prices right now are starting to fall a little bit. I wonder if the folks in the Bay Area and around those bigger cities are doing that as well, because you hit it right on the head. It's very expensive to live down there, and to get another vehicle, it's very tough down there.
You know, it's funny because I get frustrated going down the streets of Susanville, California, up here in Northeastern California, where we broadcast out of, and good Lord, if we drop down to 35 miles an hour on Main Street because of all the cars, and I can't weave, I get really, what the heck's going
road
on here? Where'd all this traffic come from? And, you know, then I got to remind myself, because I used to do that little commute from Petaluma all the way and then across Richmond Bridge to a little place called San Quentin, kind of a place that most people might know where that exists.
Yeah.
But yeah, we got to, the reality is that this, the bicycle movement, I'm starting to see where Los Angeles County now, they're beginning to explore options as far as creating bigger biker pools, taking the European approach. I don't know if that's going to take root here in the United States. You know, when you go to Europe, things like that work. Bicycle lanes work in Europe because the culture is around bicycles. It's not around automobiles like the American culture was built on. So, you know, when it comes down to this, look, the congestion is an issue, as we all know. And so the question is going to be, how do we combat that? Oh, boy, did I use a leftist spin word? How
you
are we going to combat, you know, overcrowding? Well, I don't know. But at the same time, I like to ride my bicycle, and I see some of our good friends out there riding the bike out there where we work. But there's no way I'm going to ride my bicycle from where I live out there and get into that commute practice.
You know, there was the talk of a consumption gas tax in California not that long ago, and that's kind of maybe gone by the wayside a little bit, because, you know, let's face it, the Californians, I think, overall are doing a lot better job of using less, and I think we've seen that the prices in California are still awfully high, but they have come down. Not near the national average, but we are doing a lot better in.
And don't get me started on how you're being fleeced, California. You're being fleeced in the gas prices. Not by the evil oil companies, no, by that evil group in the California legislature down there in Sacramento. Those are the individuals that are fleecing you on the price of... Anyways, I don't want to get into that rant because that one could take the entire show. And I tell you what, I'm pretty good at this rant. But the bottom line is this. You know, the direction of California is always determined by the people. It's interesting because sometimes I get so frustrated with my Republican Party because, I mean, you can see
You got them on today.
Yeah, for some reason, they're just not understanding what the people of California like, the direction the people of California want. And, you know, I mean, look, alternative energy is going to be, alternative transportation is going to be the direction of the legislature. But the problem's going to be, as we've said several times on the show, you can want in one hand, spit in the other one. Which one's going to fill up, obviously, at some point in time? Will the people of California actually take the initiative to be able to establish these alternative transportation options?
In a couple of minutes we have left in our opening segment right here, we'd like to say a big howdy to our good friend over there, Andrew.
Oh, DJ Rubes is in the house. Good
hey,
friend.
How you guys
Ruben
doing?
Moreno, how you doing, buddy?
All right.
What
thanks.
We got going on, man?
Well, we got a big thing coming on tomorrow at the casino. At the Diamond Mountain Casino, it's the EDM-4.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's the electronic dance music, mm-hmm. number 4. And
wow.
So that'll be about 8 o'clock tomorrow till about 1:30.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
We're going to have a few DJs there and an awesome light show.
I tell you what, it is an awesome light show, man. I had the pleasure of attending it last time. And I tell you what, man, you guys are putting some tunes in there. I see your partner, big DJ Onslaught, just walked in the house. How you doing, John? Good to see you over there. Looking forward to this. You know, it's going to be difficult for me. I can't commit to actually being there at the show tomorrow. My wife has made some obligations. Well, she filled my calendar, and I wasn't aware of it. But, you know, that happens sometimes when you have a girl like mine. But look, man, I've been to this, and I can't wait to see you guys do this again, especially with that light show.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be awesome again. We got another light effect that's going to blow everybody's mind. And, oh, yeah, you will be there because we'll have your advertised on the wall with that laser again.
That laser was awesome, man. We'll have to put the 503 report right there on that wall, too.
We went there last year after the rib cook-off. We went over there, and the 503 report was over there. And it's a little bit earlier this year. We'll talk about it here coming up in a couple of minutes, all about what DJ Rubes and DJ Onslaught have going on, some local guys out there doing some great things. Andrew, it's always great to promote what is going on locally here in Northeastern California.
Well, if you don't support it, it can't grow. I mean, if you want it to come, then you got to build it, and you got to be able to support it once it's here. And I tell you, man, we've got a lot of local talent up here in this area that just is not being exposed at the level that it needs to be. But eventually, as we always talk about Big Rubes, eventually, man, we'll hopefully get this scene established.
Absolutely. Andrew, what do you got for me, buddy?
Okay, California, time for something you may or you may not know. The year is 1498. Ready? Columbus, he landed at the mouth of the Orinoco River, which is now Venezuela. Think about that, man. I mean,
wow.
This guy was sailing all over the place during times where it's pretty treacherous. And of course, 1842, the Second Seminole War declared by Colonel Worth, it led to the Indians ending up being removed from Florida and sent to Oklahoma. And then 1862, Abraham Lincoln receives the first group of African Americans to confer with the U.S. president. And of course, for all of our local guys up there, all of our enthusiasts, the year is 1873. Your favorite magazine, Field and Stream, begins to publish.
The 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you, heard every Friday right after the news here on 1240 KSU live on the web at sierradailynews.com.
A free seminar, What Makes Seeding Successful? Presenting new technologies, research, and strategies for rangeland seedings in the Intermountain area.
And now, it's live from the high desert, Sierra Nevada Mountains. It's the 503 Report, Northeastern California's original political talk show, bringing Sacramento and the world to you. And here's your host, Tim Reinertsen.
Thank you, Stan. Welcome back, everybody. The 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you. Heard every Friday, right after news here on 1240 KSU, live streaming on the World Wide Web at sierradailynews.com.
To use some of the words we're hearing out there, America and, of course, California, we could talk about some of the stupid stuff being done by a bunch of stupid people across this nation in certain locations. But no, man, I want to talk about some very cool stuff. You know, the local stuff sometimes are very important. Of course, last week, man, I had a great time last Saturday at every blooming thing doing the Blues and Brews. I have to tell you, folks, if you missed that, make sure you put that on your calendar for next year. So it's a great event. Great stuff's happening throughout the summer. And then, of course, we got a big one happening Saturday, tomorrow. So if you're listening to this broadcast tomorrow on Saturday, realize it is tonight. I know that didn't make much sense, but it will tomorrow when you re-listen
Back
to this.
Back to the future.
Absolutely. Hello, folks. Andrew Wellborn here on the 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you. And, of course, you know, Tim, we are where America's voice is heard. And in the house with us is the world famous in Lassen County, DJ Rubes, my good friend. Oh, Ruben, how you doing, buddy? Welcome to the show.
How you doing there, Andrew?
Good.
Tim, thanks for having me on
here. We're doing very well. And you were talking about, is it EDM4?
EDM4.
And that stands for?
Electronic Dance Music.
And is it the fourth year?
This is the fourth year, yes.
Oh, so I'm taking it, it's been very well received. Because I remember going to last year, I was talking about after the rib cook-off, and we got there at like 11 or 11:30, and the place was packed, and it was hopping.
Oh, yeah.
And we got maybe a high from Ruben. I know he was very busy up there on the stage spinning and doing everything, but it was nice to see a different kind of music.
Yep.
Up here in Northeastern, not just the typical kind of
music. High-energy music.
And that's it. Now, I want to ask you a question away from here locally. Do you go other places, Ruben, and play as well, like Reno, Sacramento, bigger cities, bigger venues?
Yeah, being a mobile DJ, yeah, we go to Sac a lot. We do stuff over there and up here, too. And so, yeah, just, you know, so anybody needs a DJ, we're there.
Now, are you finding that this is gaining steam up here in Northeastern California? Because I've been DJing for about 25 years, and I play a different – I talked about this last year. I play a different kind of music than yours, but I like – all kinds of music, so that's a different to me. Are you finding it's well received, Ruben?
Yeah, it's getting well received. The casino, you know, Diamond Mountain Casino, is giving me a lot of opportunity mm-hmm. to be able to, you know, play a whole variety of different music there and stuff. So
now I want to ask you a question. Do you have to make your own music, your own CD, because you use computers, or do you just mix in, and with the new technology and programs, you can do pretty much anything? How does that work?
Yeah, well, the new technology helps out a lot, you know, and I can re-edit music at home, and then when I go to a venue or, you know, a function, I can play it there. And I can also, you know, edit music live, you know, on the fly.
So on the spot. So if somebody wanted to hear a song, you can pull it up in your library, and you can change it, make it faster, slower.
Yes.
Now, see, to me, that is so foreign because it's so different than what I do. And to see, because when I remember seeing you up on that stage last year, you are so intent on that. And DJ Onslaught is here with us. John, how you doing there, buddy?
I'm doing good.
Pull the mic right up there, and it was good to see you again. We were talking to you guys last year, and like I was telling Ruben and the audience, you know, we got a chance to go there last year and enjoy that. It was nice to see a huge turnout there. I'm assuming you guys are expecting the same kind of turnout again this year.
Yeah, we're hoping it's going to be bigger. I plan on, from everything I've heard, it's going to be bigger, and the light show is going to be bigger and better, and, you know.
Okay, now what time do the gates open for this event tomorrow?
Yeah, so most importantly, it's free, no cover, and the doors open at 8 p.m., and we're going to go till 1:30, 1:35, and again, there's three DJs. We're all going to have the time to throw three 45-minute sets. Sometimes we bounce off each other and do a 4x4 when there's two of us just live, like you were talking
about.
Like, we'll just do a lot of live remixing, but say Ruben will have some music going, and he'll have his remixes going, and one of us will drop in off of it. I mean, there's a lot of opportunity to be creative and bring it all out.
If somebody were to want to start out and do something like this, cost, is it expensive to get into doing something like this?
As far as DJ equipment?
Yes, for what you guys are doing, because it's a little bit different, like I said, than what I do.
Right. You know, this is definitely as far as you can get from a bedroom DJ. I know personally, my DJ setup, I got about 30 grand in it.
Yeah, see, that's a lot different than mine.
Well, that's a big bedroom.
Ruben, and we don't want to forget to give a shout-out to Matt Campbell, who's running the light show. I mean, his light show is just incredible. And you put that together with Rube's, you know, when we all come together, I would bet there's a huge number between all our setups. When you get into live remixing and remixing your own edits, I mean, it takes, you know, time, creativity. You have to know how to use software. But you really don't want to take something right off the shelf and play it live anymore, because DJing's gone to where you have to be able to basically produce. And so that's where, if you come out to the show tomorrow night, that you're going to really be able to enjoy things, because it's going to be nonstop.
And normally people will see something like this, and I mentioned the big venues earlier, but you hear about Las Vegas a lot. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of the clubs down there have like this, and a lot of the celebrities want to be seen, and they go down there. And some of those DJs that are in this field that you guys are in, they do pretty well.
Well, this is no joke as a field. I mean, Billboard magazine released earlier this year their top paid, highest earning musicians in the nation. And there's a couple of DJs that were actually in that 80-plus million region. Yeah. You know, so I'm looking forward. I mean, so look, I mean, folks, I mean, you got to understand that this is a growing industry, a very, very accepted industry. And we're doing it up here in Lassen County. So for our local listeners, man, you know, get out there. These guys are local artists, no different than any band member out there.
It's a
local singer that you see at the Country Showdown at the Lassen County Fair. So, I mean, this is live entertainment with an up and coming. I mean, it's been out there forever, as we know, but so did rap once upon a time.
Absolutely.
And then it evolved into the hip hop. And then, real quick, Rubes, I know we do have a special guest in the house with us also, and we really appreciate her showing up today.
Yeah, that's my mom, Rachel.
Hello, Rachel. All right.
I wanted to ask you a question. Coming up on the High Desert Brawl, tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, the High Desert Brawl is going to be the August 29th at the Diamond Mountain Casino, and the gates open at 5, and I guess the main event somewhere around 7 or so, around there.
Okay. And so, you're going to be there performing?
And I'll be there
playing the music?
I'll be there playing the walkout music for the fighters and music in between the breaks of the fights and entertainment, you know,
absolutely,
intermission times and stuff.
Besides tomorrow night, and everybody can go out there and they can see you for free, if they wanted to get a hold of you guys and book you guys for an event, how could they go about doing that?
Well, they can call me at 530-260-0284.
All right, for DJ Rubes.
For any bookings or anything.
All right, DJ Onslaught, do you do the same type of thing, or do you have a website? What do you got there, buddy?
Yeah, you know what? You guys can hit me up at djonslaught@live.com, or you can get with me at 530-310-5621, or get with Rubes because we're pretty tight. And
yeah, you guys are. Yeah.
Well, hey, guys, well, listen, we can't thank you guys enough for coming in here and once again, and I hope that the best for you guys this weekend and coming up on the High Desert Brawl as well, guys.
Thank you, Tim. Thank you, Andrew.
All right, guys.
Yeah, thank you guys for having us.
You bet. Our absolute pleasure. Andrew?
You know what? I can't believe the High Desert Brawl now is number 11.
That's what's amazing.
That is absolutely what is amazing. I mean, so I'm looking forward to it. I'm actually planning on attending that one. Heaven forbid something prohibit that. But I'm looking forward to being there on that day. And you know, Tim, you know, lots going on in California. We see some stories that are starting to surface. I mean, this one doesn't surprise me. We saw where the DMV now. Department of Motor Vehicles out here in California has been investigating for selling driver's licenses, you know, in this case to commercial truckers. But, you know, and you can't help think about how many driver's licenses have been illegally sold, obviously, to non-U.S. residents in this nation. I mean, so it'd be interesting to see if this federal probe actually goes a little bit further.
Let's hope that it goes faster than the line at DMV, Andrew. That's what I really care about. And how dare they do something like that? Because you never know. They're not going to look into who they're going to give that to, who they're going to sell that to. They have no idea what their record is like. They could have some kind of a disease or something where it's debilitating, and they're just not showing that day. And they're taking people's lives at risk.
I mean, this is a big deal, folks. I mean, it's a story that's kind of like not getting ready a lot of play out of Sacramento and across the state of California. But I would not be surprised if we start seeing the national level being able to pick this up, especially with some of the movements that are happening towards the immigration issue out here, not just in the state of California, but across this nation, as these presidential campaigns continue to grow, you know, especially with what Donald Trump is starting to bring up and everybody else is trying to get on board, but yet they're being reluctant to get on board. But yeah, DMV selling fake IDs, fake driver's licenses is a big deal for the people of California.
And Donald Trump, we talked about immigration here 4 years ago. So it was well before you and the problems that we were having, illegal immigrants here. We know that you on the national scene, Donald, brought that up, but we here on the 503 Report for over 4 years now have been talking about that and how we need to fix it as well.
Absolutely. And unfortunately, it looks like the grand juries now are no longer going to be used when it comes to actually reviewing use of force cases by police officers. Of course, California Governor Jerry Brown just signed that into law. So, I mean, you know, look. You know, we talk about sanctuary cities, and we talk about the importance of having the sanctuary cities for the purpose of non-U.S. residents, should we say, to come up in secret, to not have a fear factor. Well, wait a minute now. Isn't that what the grand jury system is about? To have witnesses come out who are not going to be named, not going to be put on Front Street, their identities are going to be confidential, especially whenever those witnesses go against what the mainstream media is reporting.
If you'd like to join the conversation, 257-TALK, 8255-8256, out of the area, 1-866-882-1277. The 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you.
Commerce 70th Annual Fair Parade, Farm to Fair, is Saturday, August 15th at 10 a.m. Parade entry form deadline is August 3rd, and they are available at quincychamber.com and at the Quincy Chamber of Commerce office inside Plumas Bank, 336 Main Street, Quincy. Questions? Call 283-0188 or email quincychamber@yahoo.com. This message, a community service of your favorite radio station. A free seminar, What Makes Seeding Successful? Presenting new technologies, research, and strategies for rangeland seedings in the Intermountain area, featuring researchers from the Agricultural Research Station in Burns, Oregon. Tuesday, September 1st, at the Alturas Forest Service Office, 225 West 8th Street, 9:30 to 12:30, presented by UC Cooperative Extension, Modoc County. Call 233-6400 for more information. The 2015 National Sheepdog Finals will be held September 21st through the 26th at the York Ranch, County Road 56 in Alturas, California. See the top 150 dogs from all across North America compete. For more information, go to sheepdogfinals.org or call 541-891-7518. This message, a community service of your favorite radio station.
The views and opinions expressed on the 503 Report do not necessarily represent those of staff or management of KSUE or Sierra Broadcasting Company and are brought to you solely by Andrew Wellborn and the 503 Network.
Okay, California, time for something you may not know. And across this nation, today's date, August 14th, the year is 1925. Ready? Mount Rushmore Monument is first proposed. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
1935, a very controversial thing occurs. The Social Security Act becomes law. Boy, has that fueled incredible
80
amount.
Years.
Yeah,
wow.
Boy. Oh, man. And, of course, 1945 was known as VJ Day. Japan surrenders unconditionally to end World War II. And you know what, folks? This is important. This is what sanctions do. You ready for this? The year is 1995. Iran's official news agency, that is the RNA, reports that the Iran has been unable to sell 200 million barrels per day of crude oil since the imposition of the unilateral oil embargo by the United States. Hello, folks. Andrew Wellborn here on the 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you. And, of course, we are where America's voice is heard. You know what, Tim? That's how you cripple terrorist nations. You prevent the oil, or in the case of Donald Trump, you go in and you secure the oil, aka seize the oil,
yeah,
in order to prevent these terrorist nations from utilizing that revenue to be able to harm the rest of the world.
That was just 20 years ago, Andrew, and I would not have known that had you not read that, but they were brought down pretty much to the brink of nothing, and now look what's happened over there as we have eased up on everything and opening up, letting them do trade. Their generals are going to Russia. Just it's a Pandora's box. It's wide open, Andrew.
You know, look, the void is obviously going to be brought into the forefront. You're going to start hearing more history refer to the word void. Void has been filled by ISIS. You know, you're going to start hearing the blame game as far as who is responsible for ISIS, you know, beginning to surface the way they have over there in the Middle East. You know, I'm kind of surprised a little bit. I am surprised that we did not learn from history back, you know, during the Gulf War, that we did not expect, you know, an insurgency to come forward. I mean, just about every war in history
has had that,
some type of insurgency. And then when you disband militaries, I mean, what do you think those individuals are going to go? When you disband the livelihood of professional military men and women, well, definitely men over there, women in the case of the United States, you know, where do you expect them to go? They're going to go where they can, you know, feed their families, and they're going to go where their ideology is going to lead them. So the big issue for us at the national level, and we could talk about this, we can get in predictions all day long, folks, and we have, and everybody's going to, especially with the direction that Donald Trump, and that's really what it is, the direction,
yes,
that Donald Trump is taking the Republican primary debates, and of course Bernie Sanders,
whoa,
is taking the Democrat say. The bottom line is this, you know, we're just going to have to pay attention to what direction on the national foreign policy debate, which is going to begin to surface. And you know, Tim, I'm very fascinated right now. I got to tell you, I love it. I mean, folks, listeners,
you are in your wheelhouse right now, Andrew.
Well, it's a different wheelhouse. You know, I got to tell you, I like this revolution that's happening in America, both on the left and both on the right. And I love the fact that the media does not know how to handle
this.
They're
having a difficult time, aren't they, Andrew?
Well, of course they are, folks. I mean, the unholy alliance between political parties and media companies right now that has been going on for decades, if not half a century, if not a century longer,
yeah,
you know, is really being challenged right now. And media right now, I think they're very scared of losing their power and influence. And that's exactly what's happening, no matter how you look at it on both sides, whether it be Bernie Sanders or Donald Trump.
Going on right now in the heartland of America in Iowa, of course, is the Iowa State Fair. And we talk about that because everybody's talking about that on the media. Is all the Republicans are there right now, and they are talking about everything and their policies and what they want to do. And do you think that we're going to see any poll movement at all, or is it still too early for anything? Can you see maybe Jeb Bush climbing up a little bit, Andrew, by stopping off in the heartland?
Well, it's interesting because I don't know because I'm not sure how many people are actually watching the media coverage, whether it be Fox News, CNN, or any of the big boys, MSNBC, you know, because I think you're seeing the impact of social media. I'm thinking that you're seeing the impact of individuals just going wherever they want to go. I mean, you post a video of a campaign speech on YouTube, and guess what? You've got access to watch that anytime, any place. And that's a big threat for the media companies right now. I mean, how many people out there, folks, how many of you actually pay attention to the ads and the commercials that they have to raise hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars to be able to purchase and produce, you know, for the most part? And you know, it's not that the cost of producing the ad and the campaign is costing millions of dollars as much as you're buying the advertisement time within these huge markets. That's where the cost factor comes in. And so it's going to be fun to watch. And you know, the Iowa thing, I mean, I don't really think anybody's paying attention, to be honest with you. So you got another candidate that's in Iowa, pandering to Iowa. I don't know if folks realize the significance of Iowa, but, you know, let's face it, Iowa is basically the breadbasket of America. So it's important that the farmers in that region, because not just Iowa, but, you know, it goes over to Illinois, goes into Michigan.
Sure.
Within that region, you know, the direction that the farming voters, the farm vote, that's what the pander is when it comes to the United States, you know, the agricultural part of this nation. And so I don't know if people understood what I just said, but that is really, you know, something that most political insiders don't want you to know. And I'm probably going to get hit by a few people for actually exposing the significance of Iowa, which is why they're all pandering.
Well, you know, I think the stops and the candidates stumping wherever they're going to go throughout the country has been bolstered by Donald Trump doing so well. And I think the media is going to pay attention a little bit more, whether it be positively or negatively. Now, if we could, Andrew, for a quick second, I know coming up, speaking of the heartland of America, something coming up, a little on the road for you next week, maybe, buddy?
Oh, yeah. You know, I'm going to be in Detroit, and, you know, it's my annual trip that I take to Detroit. And we're going to broadcast live from Detroit, and it's going to be interesting to see. I know I'm going to be within a group of Trump supporters. I know that. And so it's going to be a Trump-friendly individuals. And there's a few other people come in who are supporters of Obama, going to be Bernie Sanders. It's going to be interesting as far as how, you know, the conversations are going to go. But in particular, you know, next week, I'm going to really focus about, you know, the important initiative that's happening in California, the Voter Empowerment Act, which just made title and summary, and how it's going to affect the pensions. And of course, we'll talk a little bit about how far Detroit has come since its bankruptcy filing 2 years ago, and what the state of that situation is, those pension plans. It's very important to a large base of our listenership, and I know that. So hopefully we can get into some in-depth analysis as far as the impact that has occurred as a result of Detroit, and how that's going to translate as far as campaign messaging out here in the state of California.
Do you think that the San Jose Mayor Reed, you just mentioned a few moments ago, the reform for the pension reform for state workers gathering a lot of steam out here. Are we going to be hearing about that, Andrew, from now until the elections? Is that going to be something that Californians should pay attention to? Do we need to bring that up a lot? Not just to the state workers, but to everybody.
Well, absolutely. I mean, the bottom line is this. I mean, this affects small businesses. This affects large businesses. It affects employees of these small businesses, the employees of large private sector companies, and of course it affects government employees. So I just know that this is going to be a big topic of debate. You know, I know exactly how the unions are going to come out, you know, and try to destroy this, and I know how private sector is going to come out and try to, you know, promote this. But ultimately, it's going to come down to who's got the right messaging and who's got the right voter turnout. But we'll get more into that as it goes. You know, the significant part of this is that it has finally come out of the Attorney General's office out here in California. Kamala Harris has once again, you know, done what she's done, you know, pandered to the unions. It's just the way it is. It's politics as far as how she summarized the initiative. And that's going to be a point of debate. And I don't think the Reed and I don't think those guys need to focus on that as much as begin to focus the message to get your initiative passed. So if I was advising those guys, guys. I'd say stop fighting with Kamala Harris. Start focusing on your voter base and start raising your money. Now, the fear factor for the unions is going to be whether or not the Koch brothers come out here and actually get involved with the funding of this initiative. We know, we've heard that the Koch brothers are out here right now in California taking a look at funding another couple other initiatives that are trying to get to ballot. So if that bleeds over into this Voter Empowerment Act, it's going to be troublesome. It's going to be hard for the unions. Unions are going to have to dig deep in their coffers in order to create the onslaught, pardon the pun with our good friend DJ over here, you know, the onslaught of private money. It's just going to be a big bloodbath potentially. And so Californians need to embrace themselves on that because it does affect every individual that lives here.
Next, the next couple of weeks, the Assembly and the Senate comes back from the summer recess to speak. Do you see a lot happening in the next couple of weeks, Andrew? Are they just going to have a lot of bills and things on their plate to look at? Are we going to expect very much movement coming out of Sacramento in the next couple of weeks? What do you think? Oh, Charlie Brown.
You understand about that, Tim? Yeah, you know, I mean, you're going to get into the same old that people, you know, like. I mean, the bottom line is this. The legislature, folks, look, the legislature, they're almost in the position to really start to putting some harm on you. And I'm not trying to cry wolf here on this, but some of the talks that we're hearing that they want to surface, the direction that the legislature wants to take in California could be very detrimental. Look, we're already $8 billion short and probably growing on this supposed, you know, balanced budget, the surplus budget. So, you know, basically, in the last quarter of the year, we know December is just around the corner. And as soon as they start talking about their shortfalls, yeah, that's the normal talk. And so, yeah, embrace yourself, folks, because the bottom line is that they're going to look to take more money out of your pocket.
There was a report that just came out that I saw that California may, Andrew, for the first time in about 15 years, not depend heavily upon bonds or borrowing of some money to help California be right since maybe about 2000. And how is that going to play out?
Well, first of all, you got to wean them off of that. I mean, you're talking about, you know, California State Treasurer, former Comptroller John Chang's report. It's basically advocating for the importance of some of the things that we've talked about. You know, you've got to get us off of Wall Street, the unholy alliance between the California State Legislature and Wall Street. I mean, it is there, the Gordon Gekko effect that some of our elected leaders are beginning to take. You know, the bottom line is this: unless we wean ourselves off of those bonds, you know, it's going to continue to debt, and that's how we operate and function. It goes all the way back to Alexander Hamilton's first $10 million. He basically initiated the loan from the Bank of New York to the United States government once it was founded. So the forward paying for things and then debt creation has been occurring since basically the birth of this nation. But, you know, the bottom line is Californians, you know, we're going to have to advocate that. You know, that would be a good initiative. Talk about rocking the world. You know, making government actually begin to think about, you know, operating within its means. Great initiative would require that we begin to forward pay rather than back pay. In other words, making sure that we've got the money in the bank. And there's only one way you can do that, and that's by creating a state bank so that our treasury is there for the people to see anytime they want to.
Would, Andrew, having a legislature only meet every other year help that at all? Or is California too big to meet just every other year or for 6 months at a time instead of a whole year?
You know, I don't think California's too big. I mean, it would definitely slow down some of the leftist movements in California, and I think that would be the opposition, you know, to it. But no, California's not too big. I mean, state of Texas does it, you know, for the most part. They have a part-time legislature. They're not too much smaller as far as individuals and population than the state of California. And of course, the economy is not too much further behind. So this advocation, well, we're too big, we must continually be involved with everybody's lives, and we must continue to be involved with regulating industries so that the bad industries, you know, because we can't trust industries. We can't trust people to do the right thing. So that avocation is going to be the opposition as far as getting into some type of part-time legislature out here in the state of California.
Something to look forward to in the next couple of weeks, it sounds like, Andrew.
That'd be fun. You know, I'm looking forward to going out to Detroit and hanging out with some of my good friends and talking back here to the West Coast as far as what's happening out there. And of course, I always want to remind you folks, I mean, look, always remember political Republicans and individuals. The political machine triumphs because it's a united minority that acts against a divided majority. And so, you know, it's time to unify Republicans. It's time to unify behind the message of what the American people want, which is the true change in Washington, D.C.
All right, Andrew, what do you got for us today, Bob?
All right, now from our favorite book comes from John 10:10. I came that you may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance until it overflows. God bless you, America.
The 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you.
And of course, we want to thank the firefighters out there fighting those fires out here in California and keeping us safe, along with the men and women who work the toughest beat in the state, performing a duty so that you, our listener, up and down the state of California and across this nation can be safe.
The 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you, heard every Friday right after the news here on 1240 KSU and live streaming on the World Wide Web. Don't forget, Saturday, and you can go see DJ Rubes and DJ Onslaught at the Diamond Mountain Casino. Go up there, and you're going to have a lot of fun. It's a free event. Go up there and enjoy that. Grab a cup of coffee and join us for the rebroadcast Saturday at 7 before the news, and Sunday at about 7:30, right before pre-programmed material. About 20 minutes of show. After the show, go to SierraDailyNews.com and catch a rebroadcast of this show. And don't forget our website, The 503 Report, where America's voice is heard. Everybody, have yourselves a great weekend.
Fun show today.
Let me thank you for your time.